Join me in John chapter 6. We'll be reading most of the chapter, and then just a few words here, concentrating on a particular portion of the passage and using the feeding of the 5,000, if you will, as an illustration. Today is a special day. As I've said, we are in the Lent season and coming to the Lord's table, sharing together. And it is amazing how the Holy Spirit works. And one of the things I've asked of the men on the session and the Bible study, etc., that sometimes we need to stop and acknowledge the working of the Holy Spirit so that we, A, acknowledge the working of the Holy Spirit, but it's also a teaching mechanism for those of us as we are learning more. And I want to give you two here this morning, working of the Holy Spirit. And I'll ask a question first. Did Jeff McNeely call Ruth and tell her that he was going to be reading John 3:16 and praying about love? Did you, sir? Okay. I'm expecting to explain that connection. And I know that Ruth probably didn't call Jeff and say, I'm going to be singing an anthem having to deal with love. And what was Jeff's prayer about? What was this anthem about? Love. That's the Holy Spirit. I am taking the book of John in sequence. And if you have an NIV Bible, they have subheadings. And look where we are. Jesus is feeding the 5,000 bread. In John 6:25 and following, which I will read all of, Jesus refers to himself as what? The bread of life. And what have we here before us today? Communion. The bread of the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not smart enough to look from 3 months past to this day and say, oh, well, we need to be speaking about the bread of life. That's communion day. I'm sorry, I don't hit it that well. So the Holy Spirit is here, is working in bringing the theme of love together with the teaching of the bread of life. And so we look forward with great anticipation and hope with what the Lord Jesus has for us here this morning. Join me in the text, John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Move with me to verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has the everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. May the Lord bless his tremendous word and open our hearts and minds that we might understand and gain from its feeding here today. Jesus once again performs the miracle. This is one we are accustomed to, heard of. Using the barley loaves and the fish to feed 5,000. Please know, the number here is 5,000 men. There are estimates of 8,000 to 10,000 people actually in this gathering, if you count women and children and those that were all gathered there. So here, the great miracle of Jesus feeding from mere loaves and bread, and fish. And because of this great miracle and others that are now gaining a reputation for our Lord Jesus, there are many people who are following him, but they're following him for the wrong reason, many of them. They're following him because their stomachs are filled and they want more. More of him, the prophet who does miracles, rather than more of him who is Jesus, the Son of God, the bread of life. Jesus said to the people, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw a miraculous sign, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. The people did not really gain a great appreciation for who and what Jesus is here in this context. But they did have the right sense to ask the question, what must we do to do the work God requires? And our Lord Jesus makes it simple on this occasion. He answered them, the work of God is this, to believe. To believe in the one who he has sent. To believe. Very pragmatic word, phrase, to believe. Rather philosophical also. To believe. What does it mean to believe? Is it simply enough to believe? There are those who, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, there are those who have faith in faith. Well, you can also have belief in belief and never have a direct object of your belief. And in a world today, that's fine for many to just simply have a belief. But please understand the depth of which our Lord Jesus is driving at. And when I take you to his answer, he brings such a depth that we can't fully and completely comprehend. But what does it mean to believe? Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Well, the remaining verses, Jesus explains what it means to believe. And then he summarizes it up with these most startling, stark, somewhat repulsive words, if I could say it that way. Look with me at verse 53. I believe this is Jesus' answer. If I ask the question to believe, and what does it mean? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Or for you King James type, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Belief, as Jesus is talking about, does have a direct object. That belief does have an object that we are to center on, and it is him. But there's more than just centering it simply on him and his name. And I could get in trouble the way I just said that, but to center on him and his name means to take him in his full depth of meaning. And this is what Jesus is moving towards, the full depth of meaning when you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. To believe fully means to eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood. I have often, in a kidding fashion, said that I could very easily teach cannibalism as a part of the Christian faith from this text. But I hope you understand that is not in any way, shape, or form what our Lord is referring to. To believe in Jesus means not to simply have knowledge of him, but to consume him. One author says to digest him spiritually, fully, completely, bringing him in to be the essence that gives you life. And is that not what Jesus is saying here? Yes, your forefathers ate manna given from Moses that they saw coming down from heaven. But that was not eternal life. Those individuals died. Eating of the bread was not enough. Understanding the context behind the eternal life-giving bread that is Jesus Christ. I ask you, do we believe? In this context, do we believe? And have we, and are we presently consuming his flesh and drinking of his blood daily in our worship of him? You know, we could talk along this line, and some of these kids are probably going, well, how gross. Mama, what's he talking about? Well, yes, it's a challenging passage. So I want to dig in here and help us understand. Help me understand this concept, because folks, this is not an easy believism. Many today are trying to turn Jesus Christ into this easy believism that's simply calling on his name, showing up at church occasionally. That's all that's required. We don't need to get into the depths of the spiritual nature of things and this idea of eating the flesh and drinking. Folks, this is not easy. Look at verse 60 of this chapter. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is hard. Who can accept it?" How many of us in the church today? This is hard. How can we accept what he's saying? It is challenging. It is hard. So what does it mean? What does it mean to eat the flesh and drink the blood? What does it mean to spiritually digest the Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching? One author writes, this passage may be paraphrased, thank you, as follows. Jesus said to them, "I most solemnly assure you, unless by a living faith you accept, appropriate, and assimilate the Christ, trusting in his sacrifice as the only ground of your salvation, you do not possess everlasting life. On the other hand, he who does accept the sacrifice with a believing heart, digesting it spiritually, has everlasting life for the soul. And as Jesus said, I will raise you up in body gloriously on the last day, the great day of judgment." I would like to use the commentator's three words to help us understand this idea of eating flesh and drinking our Lord, digesting spiritually. Three words: accept, appropriate, and assimilate. To accept means to receive with favor, means to take pleasure in the reception and gratefully acknowledging the bringing in, the receiving of it. The parable of the sower speaks to this. The parable of the sower, Jesus said, like seed grown in good soil, those who hear the word, accept it, will produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what is sown. Accepting the word, receiving our Lord's teaching, and bringing it in, and accepting it as that which it is, that of the Lord. Do we accept the word of God with favor? If so, then we are beginning to eat of the flesh. Appropriate. To take hold of or to seize. To believe in Jesus Christ and spiritually digesting. I have accepted the word. Now I seize hold of it as though it was indeed that life-giving essence coming from our Lord. Because indeed, is that not what our Lord is talking about? We can eat the physical bread and we may be revived for a bit in its nourishment, but we will need the bread again. But if we take hold of the Word of God and seize it, appropriate it, making it in and about and being a part of who we are, gaining life eternal from it. I love Jeremiah's words here in this teaching. Jeremiah 15, he says, "When your words came to me, I ate them." And these Old Testament prophets, some of them were kind of weird. I would assume he did. He said, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Do you look at the Word of God and seize hold of it? And do we say, they are my joy? They are my delight. They are my life-giving blood. They are my life-giving essence coming in from the Lord Jesus Christ. To appropriate. To accept. And then finally, assimilate. I don't like that word. Sorry. But it fits. I was a part of an assimilation team a few years with Duke Energy, which means I flew back and forth to Houston every 3 weeks when we merged with another company. And it was my task to take that team and this team and assimilate them. Make them one. But that's what this is speaking of. To take our lives and assimilate that which is of Jesus Christ and bring them in, making them one. To assimilate the teachings of our Lord Jesus means to be made like, similar to that which we hold in high regard. To assimilate means to take something in, taking the teaching in, allowing it to make you to resemble that who is giving the teaching. So if I say we are assimilating the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are being made like Him through His Word. Wow, that sounds like the definition of sanctification. Sanctification means to be more and more and more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we eat His flesh and we drink His blood, we accept His word with great favor. We appropriate and take hold of that teaching, bringing it in and grasping hold of it as though it is our very lives. And going through that process of assimilation, making, allowing it through the work of the Holy Spirit to be, to make us like Jesus Christ. So I ask again, what does it mean to believe? It means to accept the Word of God. It means to appropriate it, seize it, take hold of it, make it yours, live by it. Assimilate it, make it into your very being so that it is the thing that brings life in and about and through you. So that the personality, the character that you are begins to digress. The personality, the character, the teaching, the ways of Lord Jesus Christ becomes more evident. What did John the Baptist say when the Lord Jesus came on the scene? I must recede. He must proceed. Same thing. Same thing. As we come to this table today, this is symbol. This is a sign. This is a covenant made. This is a sacrament. It is a most holy occasion, where we can physically take hold of a piece of bread and physically take hold of a piece of juice. But spiritually, are we taking hold of the bread of life that is Jesus Christ? Are we spiritually taking hold of that blood that dripped down from that cross? Understanding that that blood is indeed that which is represented here, and it is the only thing that has given me life, eternal life. Here today we do this. But what about tomorrow? What about Tuesday? When everything of the world comes crashing back in, and we have choices to make. Do we remember then the food we've been nourished on? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we need you in these times. teach us what it means to eat the flesh and drink the blood. We want to move past just a faint knowledge or awareness. We want to dig in, and we want to dig in deep. Help us in these times. Teach us in these times. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.